Hello and welcome to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio for Friday, September 7th. I'm very glad you're with me. We're talking about big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%, and I'm your aptly named host. Oh, how I wish, hope, that you were with me last week. I couldn't stand knowing that you had missed. I had a great interview, but I didn't get the job. Suzanne Felder, a consultant in outplacement at Lee Hecht Harrison, said there's more to getting a job than having a good resume and interview. We talked about research, confident networking, panel interviewing, dodging salary questions, and what to do in those last 30 minutes before your interview. Also, storytelling. Rochelle Charetz, founder and executive director of Charcherit, shared a compelling story herself as a two-time breast cancer survivor. Charcherit has built a culture of compassionate storytelling to help its members through their cancer diagnoses and treatments. Rochelle had ideas on identifying storytellers, supporting them, giving them multiple ways to share, helping them through this very personal process, and why all that is worth your time. This week, get out and communicate positively. Sharon Abbott is the author of Mixing It Up, The Entrepreneur's New Testament, and her strategies apply to small and mid-sized nonprofits as well. At the NextGen Charity Conference in 2011, we talked about networking your nonprofit, recruiting and hiring motivated people, and positive communications. Sharon reads my face to tell me what kind of communicator I am. And SEC Secrets. Maria Semple is the author of Panning for Gold, Find Your Best Donor Prospects Now! ! And our prospect research contributor. This month, she pans for research gold in SEC corporate filings. That's Securities Exchange Commission. On Tony's Take Two, between the guests, you can still get a free copy of my book if you take my charity registration survey, but not after this week. Use hashtag nonprofitradio to join the conversation with us on Twitter. We take a break. When we return, it's Get Out and Communicate Positively with Sharon Abbott, and I hope you stay with me.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Join the Metaphysical Center of New Jersey and the Association for Higher Awareness for two exciting events this fall, live, just minutes from New York City in Pompton Plains, New Jersey. Dr. Judith Orloff will address her bestseller, Emotional Freedom, and Greg Braden will discuss his latest book, Deep Truth, Living on the Edge. Are you ready for 12-21-12? Save the dates. Judith Orloff, October 18th, and Greg Braden, November 9th and 10th. For early bird tickets, visit metaphysicalcenterofnewjersey.org or ahanj.net.
Hi, I'm Dana.
And I'm Don.
We are certified mediators. And I am a family and couples licensed therapist and author of Please Don't Buy Me Ice Cream.
Our show, New Beginnings, is about helping you and your family recover financially and emotionally and start the beginning of your life.
We'll answer your questions on divorce, family court, co-parenting, personal development, new relationships, blending families, and more.
Dana and I will bring you to a place of empowerment and belief that even though marriages may end, families are forever.
Join us every Monday starting September 10th at 10 a.m. on TalkingAlternative.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Hi there, and welcome back. Here's my interview with Sharon Abbott. Get out and communicate positively.
Welcome to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio coverage of the NextGen Charity Conference 2011. We are at the Tribeca Performing Arts Center in downtown Manhattan. With me now is Sharon Abbott. Sharon is the author of Mixing It Up, The Entrepreneur's New Testament. We're going to talk about some of her entrepreneurial success ideas and how those probably very well translate to your work in nonprofits. And maybe some of her positive communication techniques also. Sharon Abbott, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tony. It's a pleasure.
Pleasure to have you.
Thank you.
Let's talk a little about some of your entrepreneurial success ideas with our audience of small and mid-sized charity leaders in mind. What's the first thing you'd like to share?
Well, what I truly believe is the better connected a nonprofit is, the better that they will do. I taught entrepreneur skills for over 20 years to small business owners, and I would bring in a nonprofit to every group that I had. And at one time, I had 22 different groups with 20 to 24 people in every group to teach people how to be philanthropic, to teach them to give back to their community. And what I found is the skills that the entrepreneurs needed were the same as the nonprofits needed.
Sure.
So I taught them how to get out in the community, how to get volunteers to work with them, how to engage other people so that they didn't have to do all the work, and how they brought in a board of directors who was more proactive rather than a board of directors by name. So that made a huge difference to the nonprofits, as well as one of the things that's really hard, especially when everyone perceives the economic times being as bad as they are, is that people are tired of all these organizations putting out their hand just expecting a check. And so they need to get something back. And so I created all these different programs that are fundraising activities that are fun, that people want to participate in, that make it much easier for a nonprofit to get their budget back up where it needs to be self-sustaining, and they don't have to work as hard. So they can have a lot of them do golf tournaments, or they might do silent auctions, or they might do a singles dance. I did a big band dance for Easter Seals one year. It was a costume party. We kind of did it like an old Victorian kind of party where everybody came in as a character from the Victorian era.
Very themed events.
Right. Really. And that way people, they really feel like they're participating more in the nonprofit rather than just here's a check.
Okay.
Now, you know, I'm done.
Well, let's go into some detail about, let's start with, you mentioned getting into the community.
Right.
What ideas do you have specifically that nonprofits can execute?
Well, I know in California that almost every nonprofit thinks that they just need to join a chamber, and then once they join the chamber, they're done. But the activity that they have in the chamber is actually the important part, not just joining the chamber.
What would you like to see them doing then?
They need to be on various committees. Like if they were to volunteer for ambassadors, the ambassadors have to go out to every business, right? Shake hands, what are you doing? And people used to ask me, oh, you work for the chamber. I said, no, I'm just out here helping the chamber get better known what they need to have happen in the community. And then that brought me more business. So I thought, well, if it works for me, it'll work for anybody. And it does. So if a nonprofit goes out and they just find out from all of the different businesses what the business needs and then takes that back to the chamber, it's their face, their nonprofit, that is remembered. So that's a great way of becoming very active. And then all chambers have fundraising events where nonprofits can actually be featured, so they can be part of the event.
All right. Well, how about beyond joining the chamber and being active in that way as an ambassador, what other advice about getting out into the community?
Well, you know all of the leads groups that are out there. I used to run my
leads,
own.
Leads, right. Let's,
it's a business development kind of organization where people get together on a weekly basis, which most of them do, and they have coffee and everybody talks about their business and they say, this is what I'm looking for, this is what I have to offer. So there are business leads groups. And you can find them listed in the business section of every paper. There's a website called amcity.com that lists all of the business events that are all around the country.
Okay.
And they're everywhere.
So regardless where you are.
Just search for New York and you'll find the, in San Francisco, it's the San Francisco Business Times.
Okay.
I think it's probably the Times here, but in San Jose, it's the Journal. So, you know, it's one of those. So, amcity.com.
Yeah.
And you can see every event that's going on every week. So, if you go out to events, and let's say you meet 20 people this week, one out of 20 will either be somebody that will be on the board, active in a community, help promote the nonprofit, help organize a fundraiser. Somebody in that 20 people is going to be involved with that nonprofit.
Interesting. You really want to see nonprofits getting out into the business community.
Exactly.
The first things we've talked about so far have been making those business connections, not staying within the nonprofit community.
Exactly. Because who has the money?
Okay.
Why stay in a community where everybody knows you when you can go out into a community where no one knows who you are and they're the ones who have the money.
Great. Let's share one more idea, getting that nonprofit out there.
Most nonprofits don't realize that they can do a speaking circuit, Rotary, Lions, Kiwanis, all of those kinds of social organizations. And those organizations do kind of quirky things, like if you talk out of turn, you're fined a dollar. If you promote your business out of turn, you're fined $5. Well, that money is allocated to helping nonprofits. So if every nonprofit were to go out to one of those once a week, and literally they're morning, noon, and night, you could go to 70 a week and not run out of them in a year. And so you go out to these organizations, you say, this is my cause, this is what I'm doing, I need your help, this is why, here's the result of what happens when we get help. They literally write checks on the spot.
Okay. And I know there are a lot of these groups, just in the New York area, you mentioned a bunch of different professional associations, but Rotary, there's a Rotary in every county.
So, probably in one block, there's six in New York.
Okay. Well, I know there's at least one in every county. So, and this is a big area. So,
right. There
are a lot of opportunities. Plus, you mentioned all the other membership organizations: Lions,
Kiwanis, Soroptimus, Professional Business Women, eWomen Network. I mean, really, when you look in the paper, you could. When I had a travel agency in 1991, just as the Gulf War was starting, I went out morning, noon, and night, 6 days a week. And I built the travel agency from $30,000 a month to $375,000 a month in 3.5 years by doing just this. So it was all handshaking and getting to know people and making sure that people knew who I was, even though no one was traveling at the time. So I hit it at the worst time, but managed to build my business in a way that nobody else had ever thought of. I didn't spend a dime on advertising.
No, you just had transit costs to all the meetings, right?
Exactly, and breakfast, and lunch.
I'm joking, I'm being sarcastic. But yeah, the point is, very low cost.
Exactly. Methods.
And plus, it should be fun for executive directors, CEOs. I mean, they should be enjoying being out in the community, in the business community, talking about their work.
That's the biggest issue, is people have fun when they're doing something that they're connecting with people. And when these organizations see how much fun that you're having, they want to be more part of it.
Yes.
So when people are saying, oh, would you write me a check? Or we're short on our budget, could you help us out? It's really kind of gloomy, and people don't like being part of that. So you make it fun and entertaining.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
Are you fed up with talking points rhetoric? Every way you turn, it's left or right spin, ideology, no reality. In fact, it's ideology over intellect. No more. It's time for the truth. Join me, Larry Sharp, a.k.a. The Neosage, Tuesday nights, 9 to 11 Eastern, for the Ivory Tower radio program. In the Ivory Tower, we'll discuss what's important to you, society, politics, business, and family. It's provocative talk for the realist and the skeptic who want to know what's really going on, what does it mean, and what can be done about it. So gain special access to the Ivory Tower and listen to me, Larry Sharp, your Neosage, Tuesday nights, 9 to 11 New York time. Go to ivorytowerradio.com for details. That's ivorytowerradio.com. The Ivory Tower is a great place to visit for both entertainment and education. Listen in, Tuesday nights, 9 to 11. It will make you smarter.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Talking Alternative. I'm Christine Cronin, president of nycharities.org. You're listening to Tony Martinetti, Nonprofit Radio, Big Nonprofit Ideas for the Other 95%.
I'm going to guess you have advice about hiring. So bringing people to your organization, and this starts at the top, but it even applies to the board, hiring the top. But what advice do you have about bringing people in who and making sure you get people who are going to be passionate, going to love the mission, and be innovative thinkers? How do we hire these kinds of people?
You know, I think one of the hardest things for nonprofit is inviting people into their board of directors who actually have the connections and that will make a difference for the organization. So there's a lot of people who are semi-retired, retired, and they volunteer for nonprofits, but technically they don't have the contacts and they don't have the ability to go out in the community and start helping promote other people. So if a nonprofit were to look at what's your database like, do you have social media contacts, what experience have you had with nonprofits before and what were the results? Treat it just like a job interview. So don't take anyone on your board unless they really are bringing something to the table. That's a huge issue. There's a lot of nonprofits who just think, oh, I'm so grateful you've even asked to be on the board.
I know. Or sometimes it's we desperately need a lawyer or an accountant. So we'll just take the first one that we get introduced to. And you end up with just somebody who's just brings that skill, but nothing more related to your important charitable work.
And they might think that they save, you know, $10,000 a year on legal costs, but they lose $100,000 a year by not having the right person connected with a nonprofit. So that's really important that they look at, you know, what is the cost effectiveness of what a person is bringing to their nonprofit organization.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so that's excellent for board recruitment. How about hiring employees within the organization? What do you like to see CEOs and executive directors doing?
I have been speaking where people are unemployed for over 20 years, and I am surprised because I have a little blank card and I have them write on there, what would I like to do most of anything now that I don't have a job?
Right.
And I would say 20% say that they want to work with a nonprofit in any fashion. Some even say they'll work for free just so that they can be part of that community and giving back. When a nonprofit is looking for an executive director, that person better be a networker. They better be the handshaker. They need to be up to date on technology, open-minded, trying different fundraising concepts instead of the same old thing. Because what worked 5 years ago does not even come close to working today.
Yeah.
And so they have to always be on top of what the technology is. We heard this morning how text messaging is so important because the 30-year-olds are now not opening email, and even, you know, 10% of everybody in the world only opens email.
Was that Aria Finger who was talking about texting too?
Exactly.
Yeah, I just had her as a guest before you.
Right.
She came on and was talking about actually 15 and 16-year-olds, motivating them, and she said, you know, get them where they are. Text.
Right.
Sending 4,200 messages a month for 16-year-old girls or something. Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, that's what keeping up with technology will do for someone, is always looking at what else can they do. Most nonprofits don't have a blog. That's a big mistake. Because that...
Who in the nonprofit do you like to see doing that blog? In the name of the executive director?
It should be in the name of the executive director, because that builds the relationship with the person who has the most visibility in the community and the most visibility and able to make decisions for the nonprofit. Because a lot of times you can have someone else write it in the office, but it should be in the name of the executive director.
Okay. Let's talk a little more about hiring. Now we've talked about the board what the board should be looking for in the executive director. What should the executive director be doing to make sure that he or she is hiring the right people that are going to be supporting?
Well, I think the skill set is going to depend on how much the nonprofit is doing in the community. So if it's just administrative work, that's one thing. That's easy to do. But the biggest give back in a nonprofit is the person who has that innovative ability to figure out how they can use technology, how they can reach out into the community, draw more people in. There's so many different things. Like, most people don't realize that you can actually go to a restaurant and say, I have an event coming up in 30 days. And almost every restaurant will say, because you're a nonprofit, I'll donate a lunch. Right? And then what I would do is I would package 12 lunches and have it lunch for a year. And auction it off. Right. You know, and it, just simple little things like that. If you have people who are willing to go out into the community and do things like that, the payback, that employee ends up paying for their own salary.
And when we're in the hiring process, how do we make sure we're getting somebody like that in our...
The questions, I think, would be, how do you feel about being out in the business community? Are you comfortable picking up the phone and talking to people you don't know? You know, what would you do in a situation where we need to create a new event? What would you suggest? How would we go about creating an event? And see how people are creative or not. There's also facial recognition techniques. Okay. And I teach a course, it's called About Face, and it actually helps me figure out what your face tells me about how to communicate with you, but also how well you communicate with other people. So someone who has a larger bottom lip is a good listener, right? It's great if you need them to listen, but if they're the person who has to be out in the community speaking, you want them to have a larger upper lip.
All right, we're going to talk more about this very, very shortly. I just want to remind listeners that I'm with Sharon Abbott at the Next Gen Charity Conference 2011 in New York City. Her latest book is Mixing It Up, or is this the one?
This has just been revised, but I have 8 books published.
Okay, well, we're giving credit to this one because it's related to our topic. It's Mixing It Up, The Entrepreneur's New Testament. And you'll find Sharon Abbott at SharonAbbott.com, but you need to know that she spells her name S-H-A-R-Y-N, and 2 B's and 2 T's in Abbott, and then .com. So I should have just spelled the whole thing out instead of pieces. Sharon, and then an A, and then at the end there's 2 T's, and then after the A there's 2 B's. How do we know? Yeah, I've botched it totally. No, SharonAbbott.com. Someone who's a good listener has a larger lower lip. Why is that true?
Well, back in Aristotle's time in the 14th century, he began this whole study. It's called physiognomy. And Judge Jones in 1935, Ed Jones, in Chicago, started looking at people who were presented to him in his courtroom, and he kept a log. And he would go, guilty, not guilty, guilty, not guilty. And according to the jury's findings, he was 90% accurate based on looking at someone's face. So I took that information and I thought, wait a minute, what if we could use this for communication styling? So if I look at you, I know that you like it when people get to the point. You want people, that's based on
your... Are you looking at me now, Ron?
Yeah,
she's
sizing
me up,
Tony.
Right now. Okay. All right. I like it when people get to the point based on what makes you draw that conclusion?
Your nose.
But how does a physical feature convey a personality?
There's a science to it. This is actually the science of reading your face. So I know that I'm going to get to the point. I'm not going to take the long way around.
I'm going to actually say that she's right. I did. But I think I'm a patient listener also.
Your lip is larger on the bottom than the top. So you're a really good listener, almost twice as good at listening as you are of speaking, and you know you're good at speaking. So the difference
is... This is all ego. Now I'm blushing, too. What does blushing cheeks mean?
It means you can still feel.
There must be some downsides. Tell me about something that I'm a shortcoming that
recognize. Let's say I needed to explain a project to you. The squareness at the bottom of your chin tells me I have to get to the point, which means I can't tell you all about the details.
But also my nose conveyed that to you, too.
Right. But there's this point where you're going, I don't want to know how you're going to build it. I just want to know when it's going to be built. And so people who have a need to explain every detail will get very frustrated because you're looking at me and going, you know, I've got things to do. You know, just tell me what I need to do and we're done.
All right, this is embarrassing now because she's sizing me up. This is pretty accurate. This is not like fortune telling either. Anything else? Is there anything else?
Oh, absolutely.
All right, got one more. Go ahead. I'm the guinea pig. No, I don't mind. This is actually quite insightful. It's
so
interesting.
This portion right above your eyebrows is It's fairly flat.
Now, for radio listeners, she's putting her finger in between my eyebrows.
Right.
In between her eyebrows.
My eyebrows, not yours.
There's no contact. She's sizing me up, and there's no physical contact at all. It's unbelievable.
This tells me that you like information in order. So you want it. Give me this first, then this, then that, in order.
But I pluck my brows. So does that? If I had one brow straight across, would that?
Unibrow? No, yeah, not in style
okay.
anymore.
Okay.
No, this is the logic. This is like mine is flat right here.
She's talking about the space between her eyebrows and the forehead.
Right. So I have a logical personality. You have a logical personality. So you really want things in order first. There's a lot of people who you'll see it's just totally slanted back. Those are the people who they understand a process and then they immediately know how it applies to them long term.
Physiognomy is the...
Physiognomy.
Okay, that's the practice. You can Google physiognomy and Sharon Abbott as well. We're going to go off this now, but that was pretty much on point. Yeah, I didn't disagree with anything you just told me about myself. And I learned something. Okay, let's talk a little about your positive communication techniques, since we're talking about the way people like to communicate and you're judging this by their face.
Right.
What are some of the positive communication techniques that people should be using?
Well, I think it's really difficult for a lot of people to stay positive in what I believe is a perceived economy. Now, I cannot argue with the numbers. You know, we do have the highest unemployment rate at this time. There are fewer people donating to nonprofits, you know, to kind of get back on point. So how do we actually project a positive attitude when we know that this is on everyone's mind? So my attitude is, no one came along, scraped up all the money, and locked it up, and they're not magically waiting to the day that everybody says, okay, we can take the money out now. So where is the money? It's just moved. So when we're communicating with people and we start thinking about, all right, so what do I have to do to be the person that somebody wants to give what they have allocated, their 10% to a nonprofit, communicating in a positive manner instead of, we need money, we need to raise this funds, it would be, when people are involved with our nonprofit, these are the benefits. This is what we're giving back to the community. And the long-term benefit for you is. So it's turning something around. You're saying the same thing, but in a positive manner, and making the person that you're talking with more comfortable with the idea of being involved.
Okay.
So it's a simple technique, but it's phrasing, how you actually phrase what you're talking about. And allowing the other person, so this is where this comes into play. If you're talking to somebody who has a larger upper lip, you make sure that they have more than enough time to talk.
Okay. Let's give an example of phrasing something positively that in a positive way. Can we do that? Let's take a negative and make it sort of a positive so people can understand making this positive communication.
Okay, give me a negative.
I'm cold. The room is cold. I'm too cold in this room.
Instead of saying, I'm too cold, I mean, that's an easy fix.
All right, well, let's
put on a sweater, you know, put on a jacket, you know, let's move a little bit. Start getting your blood moving a little bit so that you can actually be warmer. But let's say a challenging one would be, I've called all these people and no one's calling me back.
Okay, that's good.
Right?
Yeah.
And that happens a lot. You know, when I am actually very business-oriented, which I think makes a big difference. A lot of people get into nonprofit, and they think it is not for-profit. And nonprofits have to be profit-minded. So they have to know that they're making more money than what it costs them to run the organization. So I do things like I make 20 dials. I know that 10 people answer the phone. I know that if I leave 5 voicemail messages, only one person's going to call me back. Is it worth my while to return those calls and call somebody who doesn't call me back? So do I look at the possibility that that person's out of town, busy, you know, family things going on, and then call them again anyway? So my rule of thumb is you take a situation where somebody says, nobody's calling me back, I don't know what to do, and then they get into that funk. So how do you turn it around?
Right.
So what I found is that for every organization, there is a time of day, a day of the week that has the best return. So if I call on Monday morning at 9 o'clock, I'm not likely to get the right people to answer the phone because they're setting up their week. They've got their sales meetings, whatever's going on. So I know that if I call at 11:30, people are kind of wrapping up their morning and they're getting ready for lunch. If I call at 1:30, they've just gotten back for lunch. They might be late back from lunch. So there's these windows of time, 10 to 11, 1 to 3. And I know that Monday's not the best day and Friday's not the best day. So if I make my calls Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, then I'm going to have a much better ratio. If I can improve my ratios even 10%, then I improve my bottom line. So why not treat a business like a nonprofit as a true business and actually track what we're doing, having results, so that we know that if this isn't working, we have to shift and start doing something else. So most people keep doing the same thing over and over again, and it drives them crazy, right? The definition of insanity. But they don't ever realize all they have to do is shift what it is that they're doing so that they end up having better results.
We have to stop there. Sharon Abbott, one of her 8 books is Mixing It Up, The Entrepreneur's New Testament. I want to thank you very much for being a guest, Sharon. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you, Tony.
Thank you, even with my big lower lip. Tony Martinetti, nonprofit radio coverage of the Next Gen Charity Conference 2011. Thank you very much for joining us. My thanks to Sharon Abbott. If you want to Google her, her name is spelled Sharyn Abbott. Now a break. When we return, it's Tony's Take 2 and then Maria Semple, SEC Secrets. Stay with us.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Join the Metaphysical Center of New Jersey and the Association for Higher Awareness for 2 exciting events this fall, live, just minutes from New York City in Pompton Plains, New Jersey. Dr. Judith Orloff will address her bestseller, Emotional Freedom, and Greg Braden will discuss his latest book, Deep Truth, Living on the Edge. Are you ready for 12-21-12? Save the dates. Judith Orloff, October 18th, and Greg Braden, November 9th and 10th. For early bird tickets, visit metaphysicalcenterofnewjersey.org or ahanj.net.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
There. Time for Tony's Take 2. On my blog this week, I have a charity registration survey, which I've had up for a couple of weeks, but I blog this week that the offer is coming to an end. So if you do take the 3-minute survey, you can still get a free download of my book, but only until Saturday, September 15th. The book costs as much as $299 for larger charities. The book is called Charity Registration, State-by-State Guidelines for Compliance, and I really am interested in getting to familiar with lots of people's understanding about this morass of charity registration laws in each state. So if you take the 3-minute survey, You can get the free book. It'll be a download, but only until Saturday, the 15th of September. And you'll find the link to the survey on my blog at TonyMartinetti.com. That is Tony's Take Two for Friday, September 7th, the 38th show of the year. Maria Semple is with me now. You know her. She's the Prospect Finder. She's a trainer and speaker on prospect research. Her website is theprospectfinder.com. And her book is Panning for Gold, Find Your Best Donor Prospects Now. You can follow her on Twitter at Maria Semple. Maria Semple, welcome.
Hey, Tony. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you. We're talking about SEC secrets. What is this Securities and Exchange Commission data?
Well, there's a lot of very interesting data that we can look at as nonprofits to try and find some potential new donors for us, as well as maybe some people who are current donors that we just didn't realize are connected to public companies as corporate insiders. So let's talk about corporate insiders for a second, because I want to make sure that everybody really understands what that is. We hear so much, I guess, in the news about insider trading, and it's always, you know, portrayed in a negative light, and
right.
That means that people who are corporate insiders have done something illegal with information that they have as insiders. But basically, if you're an insider, the SEC defines you as falling into one of three categories. You're either one of the top officers of the company. Usually there's about five, six, seven people around that number listed. You are one of the board of directors of that public company,
mm-hmm.
or you just happen to be a person or an entity that holds 10% or more of the outstanding stock of that company. So if you fall into one of those three categories, you must report all of your trading activity in that company to the Securities and Exchange Commission, and all of that data is public knowledge.
Okay, so insiders have to file with the companies about their holdings within the companies that they're insiders for.
That's right.
And then also public companies also file with the SEC? They must, right?
Right, right. So, I mean, you know, the information can be found. If you happen to know that a particular prospect is connected to a public company as a corporate insider, maybe they sit on the corporate board of that particular company, you can actually go to that company's website, and typically the tab that you would be looking for on a company's website is called Investor Relations.
Okay.
So the companies themselves do have the data.
All right. And of course, we can also get it from the SEC. But before we go further, let's keep each other out of jargon jail. Let's make sure everybody understands, what is a public company?
So a public company is a company that is has issued stock and is trading on the market. I guess the most famous one that we saw go from a private to a public company recently was Facebook, right? So prior to that, all of the information was private. No information had to be released to the public about salary information, et cetera, other compensation data. But now that they're a public company and the public now owns shares of that company, owns part of the company, they have to be able to report all the goings on, all the various filings about, you know, not only what the corporate insiders are doing, but obviously all the data
sure.
related to other financial information for the company.
Okay, it's the difference between privately held and public.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
So what kind of data can we find about what we're interested in, the people, the insiders? What kind of info can we find?
Well, the interesting information you can find, if somebody is a top officer at the company, you can find their salary and other compensation data, and they actually have charts of that data going back over a three-year period. So you can actually see whether they've had what their base salary was, what other compensation that they might have, maybe bonuses, et cetera. Really key, I think, to looking at this data is stock ownership, because
okay.
very often a nonprofit, especially if they are in, say, a capital campaign or an endowment campaign mode where they're really looking for major gifts, trying to get a gift of appreciated stock as opposed to getting a gift of outright cash from a particular donor could be very beneficial. So you know, just understanding whether or not you have people in your own fundraising database, whether or not they may be one of these corporate insiders who can gift you stock, that would be fabulous to know. And, you know, the screening companies can help identify that for you if you're not able to self-identify who those corporate insiders are in your database.
Okay. And there can be other stuff that's disclosed as well, like all their fringe benefits and things, right, which can include insurance policies.
That's right. All their employment agreements. You know, you've heard of people who have these golden parachutes, right, if they're released from a company. So all of that is actually outlined in these particular employment agreements.
Is the agreements themselves are public?
So, yeah, they actually will say, you know, if this person is terminated, this person will be subject to earning X number of dollars, maybe even shares of stock upon their termination.
I'm just curious. Can you actually see the language of their employment contract?
Language of the employment contract,
okay,
but within the proxy statements, which is the filing statement that this information is contained within,
okay,
that's where you would find really the juicy, the meat of it all.
Okay.
If that is of importance to you, if you have somebody who is perhaps a corporate insider and is maybe has just been let go or will be let go, you can actually find that information in those filings.
I was just like lurking. If I could see people's employment contracts, but no, all right, just some juicy details, as you
said. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
The
okay.
juicy details.
Okay.
You know, other juicy details that I like pulling out of this is also bios of the entire board of directors of a public company. So it'll give somebody's age. So right, you do planned giving, Tony. So understanding whether or not somebody is maybe perhaps even a prime planned giving prospect, mm-hmm, based upon their age. Age, mm-hmm, that's disclosed in this statement.
Okay.
You have a bio that would contain where they're currently employed, other corporate boards that they sit on. So very often, I'll read about bio within a corporate proxy, and then I'll realize, I didn't realize this person also sat on another board of directors.
Yes, so they're an insider over there, too.
Right. So then that makes me, I know just from that key piece of information, here's another area I need to explore as I'm doing my prospect research, that they may actually own, you know, significant shares in this other company as well.
Right, right. And just to remind people that a way that you might find that someone is an insider, because you might not know it, is setting up the Google alerts, the free Google alerts that you and I have talked about a couple of times in the past. If you have those on your major donors, then information about them and the company that they're an insider for will come right to your inbox.
Yes, I think it should. You know why? Because when they have, let's say I, Maria Semple, were a corporate insider. Maybe I sat on the board of directors of a company.
You used to use me as an example, but now you've learned.
Yeah,
there's no point.
Yeah.
The likelihood of that ever happening is so infinitesimally small, it's not even worth hypothesizing.
Or maybe I'll start using one of your other regular contributors.
Yeah, it's anybody but me. Yeah, you're much better off. You have a much greater likelihood of being an insider.
So if I traded today in a public company and I were a corporate insider, I need to let the SEC know within 2 business days.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, as a prospect researcher, it's terrific because you know that if you're looking at particular filings, you will be able to see whether that person has, how much stock they have within a 2-day accuracy period.
Okay,
right.
That's incredible. Yeah.
So right. Well, all of that came about, in because of the recent financial meltdowns, et cetera, in the early 2000s. But there were, definitely some new laws that went into effect under the Sarbanes-Oxley Act, and so they ended up saying, okay, you know what? You used to have a longer period to let us know. Now we're shortening it to 2 days.
Since you mentioned planned giving earlier, something else you might find out about is people's retirement plans with the company.
That's right. So it might give you some idea there as well, whether or not they're going to have maybe, a significant amount of money they were going to have to do something with. So, why not know about that and be prepared to have a conversation with them?
So we have just about a minute and a half before our first break. So you mentioned the proxy statement. That's one thing that has to be filed. That's filed by the companies or by the insiders?
Those are filed by the companies once a year. Once a year, they're filed with the Securities and Exchange Commission. They're known as two other things, actually. Notice of Annual Meeting of Shareholders, you might see it termed that way. And then every one of the filings that the SEC has a number. And the number that corresponds to this particular SEC document is called DEF, D-E-F, like Frank, DEF 14A. And that's filed once a year by the company.
Okay. And those are all the different names for the proxy statement?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, they're known as all these different things. But if
right,
you are on
right.
the SEC's website, you're actually looking for Form DEF 14A for that particular company. Again, it's on the company's website, though, as well.
Yep. Okay. Now, we have just about 30 seconds before our break. There's annual and quarterly statements also, right?
Yes, there are. There are definitely annual and quarterly statements, and they're more related to significant happenings within the company, related to really financial goings-on of the company itself, as opposed to individuals connected to the company. So for the most part, that's the type of information that they're going to file annually, quarterly, et cetera.
Okay. We have to take a break. When we return, of course, Maria Semple stays with me, and we'll talk about some of the places where you can find this data. Stay with us.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Hi, this is Nancy Tatro from Speak Spin Radio. Speak Spin Radio is an exploration of the world of communication, how it happens and how to make it better, because the quality of your communication has a direct impact on the quality of your life. Tune in Mondays at 2 p.m. on TalkingAlternative.com, where I'll be interviewing experts from business, academia, the arts, and new thought. Join me Mondays at 2 p.m. and get all your communications questions answered on Speak Spin Radio.
Have you ever considered consulting a roadmap when you feel you need help getting to your destination? When the normal path seems blocked, a little help can come in handy when choosing an alternate route. Your natal chart is a map of your potentials. It addresses relationships, finance, business, health, and above all, creativity. Current planetary cycles can either support or challenge your objectives. I'm Montgomery Taylor. If you would like to explore the help of a private astrological reading, please contact me at Monty@MontyTaylor.com. That's Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at MontyTaylor.com.
How's your game? Want to improve your performance, focus, and motivation? Then you need Aspire Athletic Consulting. Stop second-guessing yourself. Move your game to the next level. Bring back the fun of the sport. Help your child build confidence and self-esteem through sports. Contact Dale at Aspire Athletic Consulting for a free 15-minute power session to get unstuck today. Your greatest athletic performance is just a phone call away at 801-604-0294 or visit aspireconsulting.vpweb. Motivational coaching for athletic excellence. Aspire to greatness.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com. Talking Alternative.
Welcome back. I'm glad you're still with us. My voice cracks again, like a 13-year-old. Maria, just briefly, what are these, since it's important to know the file name, the names of some of these forms, what are these annual and quarterly statements called that people will be looking for?
Well, if they're looking for those quarterly and annual statements, 10K and 8K are those statements, but there are others that I think are even more interesting in terms of prospect research. In addition to that proxy, the DEF 14A, there's something called a Form 3 and a Form 4. So Form 3 is the initial report that is filed by insiders as of the date that they become an insider or a beneficial owner of the stock. So it will list their holdings as of that date.
Now, I would have thought that would be Form 1, but that's not Form 1.
Yeah, it's called Form 3.
Okay, I don't want to confuse people. All right,
and
it should be Form 1.
And then the other form that I find very interesting is called Form 4, which would show any changes in holdings anytime that insider buys or sells their insider stock. And that's the form that I was referring to that actually has to be filed within that two-day period of that stock transaction.
Okay.
So let's say, as an example, maybe a proxy filing may have been done in, say, April of this year for a particular public company. And here it is the beginning of September, we're researching this particular corporate insider. If we only go on the data that was filed on the DEF 14A document, that proxy, and it's going to show the stock holdings as of April 2012, there's a lot of time that has passed. There's several months. Did this person trade any stock during this time? We would like to know if their holdings are still the same or not. So you would be looking particularly for Form 4 to see if that person actually made a trade in stock between April and September. And then on the form itself, it's going to show you whether they bought or sold more stock, and then how many shares that they hold at the conclusion of that sale. So let's say at the conclusion of that particular transaction, I still own 10,000 shares of that particular stock. I can go on a website that shows, you know, market activity, showing, you know, what's going on in the stock market, and get a general idea of how much that stock is worth in that portfolio.
All right. You mentioned the corporate website under investor relations and or investor information as one place to find this data. Where else? The government has its the SEC has its own site.
Yes, the SEC, which is sec.gov. Does have a database called EDGAR, free EDGAR. So that is definitely something that you can use to look for the information. And using the SEC's website or even going to the corporate website is free to do.
Okay. The EDGAR, I had always heard of EDGAR, but I didn't know that it stands for Electronic Data Gathering, Analysis, and Retrieval.
Yeah.
Isn't that smart of the? Isn't that a little clever of the SEC?
So
they should have make a retrievable info analysis, and that would be Maria.
There you go.
They should have Maria. Get rid of Edgar and replace it with Maria. Okay,
that'd be fun.
We just have about 2 minutes left. What are other sites where you can find this? Even though we've already identified some free ones.
Right. So a fee-based site, actually one that I myself subscribe to because I do so much of this type of research, is called 10kwizard.com, and that's actually part of the Morningstar document research of companies. So it used to be a standalone, and now they're part of Morningstar. So 10kwizard I find to be really useful. Their lowest subscription is roughly $400 a year. And it enables you to, I just like the output of the data. I like the fact that I can put in an insider's name, and it'll show me every place somebody is connected to as a corporate insider. It'll lead me directly to the filings, and I can see a PDF copy of the filings. So it's just a quicker way. So I would suggest for anybody who's really going to be doing a lot of this, you might want to consider a subscription service.
Okay. Oh, really? They just works better than the Edgar site or going to the companies?
You know, I think it just points to a lot of information very quickly. So
okay.
As opposed to trying to sort through the information on the corporate site, et cetera, to sort through, say, all the Form 4 filings that exist on a corporate site to just see, well, because it'll just say Form 4, you know, and it'll say the filing. So you'll need to try and figure out, well, is this filing related to the person that I'm researching right now?
Okay.
Yeah, so it's right. Just the way you go about the research. I think it just becomes a little bit more efficient on some of the paid resources.
Maria Semple is the Prospect Finder. You can follow her on Twitter, at Maria Semple. Her site is theprospectfinder.com. Always a pleasure. Thank you very much, Maria.
Thanks so much. Have a great day.
Thank you very much. Next week, Small Shop Planned Giving with Claire Meyerhoff, principal of the Planned Giving Agency. We actually turn the tables, and she interviews me for a while on Small Shop Planned Giving. And Scott Kegler, the editor of Nonprofit Technology News and our tech contributor, he returns with technology to help your event planning. You can keep this conversation going on our LinkedIn group. Post your follow-up questions, and my guests for the week will answer them. I'll make sure of it. Also, I host a podcast for the Chronicle of Philanthropy. It's Fundraising Fundamentals. It's a 10-minute monthly podcast devoted only to fundraising. It's on iTunes. It's on the Chronicle of Philanthropy website. If you like this show, then check it out. It's called Fundraising Fundamentals. Continuing to wish you good luck the way performers do around the world. Last week was those crazy Russians. They wish you bad luck, and then you say go to the devil to denounce their bad wishes. But the hell of it is they make such good vodka. This week, from Norway, Tvi Tvi. This was used to put a curse on someone that you liked. This is almost like the Russians. The superstition was that if somebody had already cursed you, then the evil spirits had no reason to bother you. So it's not like the Russians. You don't denounce the person. You're actually grateful that they put a curse on you so that the real evil spirits have no reason to deal with you. Unless the person who's cursing you is themselves an evil spirit. But I don't think the Norwegians are thinking. I think I'm overthinking it. So it used to be a friendly goodbye or to send somebody off to a journey, tvi tvi. Today, it's used when wishing someone good luck before they go on stage. And the belief is that it imitates the sound of spitting, an onomatopoeia. So I'm wishing you for the week, tvi tvi. Our creative producer is Claire Meyerhoff. Sam Liebowitz is our line producer. Janice Taylor has these foreign good wish research experiences for us. The show's social media is by Regina Walton of Organic Social Media, and the remote producer of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Rico Radio is John Federico of The New Rules, Rico Radio. I wonder if he has Rico Radio. I hope you'll be with me on this radio, Tony Martinetti Nonprofit, next Friday, 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern at talkingalternative.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Hi, this is Nancy Tatro from Speak Spin Radio. Speak Spin Radio is an exploration of the world of communication, how it happens and how to make it better, because the quality of your communication has a direct impact on the quality of your life. Tune in Mondays at 2 p.m. on TalkingAlternative.com, where I'll be interviewing experts from business, academia, the arts, and new thought. Join me Mondays at 2 p.m. and get all your communications questions answered on Speak Spin Radio.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Liebowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
This is Tony Martinetti, the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Technology, fundraising, compliance, social media. Small and medium nonprofits have needs in all these areas. My guests are expert in all these areas and more. Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern on Talking Alternative Broadcasting.
Are you concerned about the future of your business or career? Would you like it all to just be better? Well, the way to do that is through better communication. And the best way to do that is training from the team at Improving Communications. This is Larry Sharp, host of the Ivory Tower Radio Program and director at Improving Communications. Does your office need better leadership, customer service, sales, or maybe better writing or speaking skills? Could they be better at dealing with confrontation, conflicts, and touchy subjects? All are covered here at Improving Communications. If you're in the New York City area, stop by one of our public classes or get your human resources in touch with us. The website is improvingcommunications.com. That's improvingcommunications.com. Improve your professional environment. Be more effective. Be happier and make more money. Improving communications. That's the answer.
TalkingAlternative.com.